from the trails, woods, and waters of the Great Lakes State to the Michigan Talk Network. It's Wild Michigan with your host, Duran Martinez.
Welcome to Wild Michigan. I'm Duran Martinez. All over the world via the website, wildmichiganradio.com. You can pick up the podcast there. Check out our groovy sponsors like Not Just Guns as we are getting ready for firearm deer season. Those guys have ammo. And make sure you check them out. If you need ammo, you need stuff for your Bushmaster, your 450 or your 350 or whatever. Or maybe you need some ammunition for your handgun or your other firearms. Check them out. They've got lots and lots of ammo in stock. And in a lot of cases, no minimums, man. No, you can only get 5 boxes like some of the big box stores are doing. Mm-mm. They'll let you buy what you want to buy. And don't forget their auctions also on Wednesday nights at notjustguns.com. And we're going to get started right away with our good friend, Mr. Nelson, as I have called him for the past 15 years, my good friend Tom Nelson, host of the American Archer on the Outdoor Channel. Tagged out already, brother. What is up with you? You're a machine.
Let me just say, Duran, Lady Luck smiled on me. I mean, it's always nice to be lucky, and I was fortunate.
You know, especially, and I'll say this because a lot of times, you know, you got those mid-October doldrums. You've got this warm, the beautiful warm weather we've had here in the early parts of November, which usually a lot of guys aren't going to go out, and gals too. You know, they're not going to go out. It's too warm, yada, yada, yada. But man, I've been seeing some success out there despite what we normally would see.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, in October in Michigan was a tough month. I mean, we had a lot of precipitation. I keep a daily journal, what I saw, where I sat, wind direction, that sort of stuff. It's always a great reference, you know, in future seasons. And I was looking before we talked today, I was looking at this and filling in today's cold temperature. But it rained out of the 31 days in October. I had 13 days of rain in my journal.
Wow. I didn't think they were that bad, but then again, I was on the road a lot too.
Yep. And for a total of 5.5 inches of rain.
Wow.
So, you know, it was a wet month. I got rained out some different hunts, but it was warmer. If you remember those 75 degree early October days that we had some of, and that just, you know, it's not conducive to great bow hunting when it's rainy, warm, or the combination of the above. But, you know, I was fortunate on the 11th of, I believe it was, of October. I shot a real nice buck and not in the best of conditions. I mean, it wasn't raining, but it was early in the year to shoot a mature buck like that. And then I tagged out on Friday, first. Yeah, mm-hmm. Friday the first. Took my second buck and a nice, real nice 9-point, and so I was fortunate.
You know, and that's pretty good too. When you get a couple of nice bucks like that, and I mean, you know, 3.5 and above, in the state of Michigan, that's both, you know, good management in your area, but patience too. And I know, you know, look, and there's always that argument, Tom, I'm like, you know, you can't eat antlers and I'm a meat hunter and this and that. You know what? That's fine. Nobody's dogging on anybody for what they deem necessary to harvest. I'm not saying that, but if you like a more mature deer, you're going after, you know, some extra inches out there on antlers, then that's the way to do it. And it's, I mean, it's just a pretty clear-cut thing. It's not an argument.
Oh, no, I agree. You know, it's whatever you yourself, you know, for personal satisfaction, what you're trying to get out of the hunt. If you're out there for meat, that's one thing. If you're out there, like in my case, I've been bow hunting for almost 45 years, and I like the challenge of matching wits with mature bucks. And if I get one, great. If I don't, great. I enjoy every moment I'm out there. But it's all in what you want to get out. Again, as I said, what you want to get out of the hunt personally.
Tom Nelson is our guest here on the host of the American Archer on Wild Michigan. Tom, we are in the last weekend. We are coming into firearm deer season where everything is going to go crazy. With your buck, what was it doing? How was it acting when it came in? I guess let's start with the first and then go to the second.
Sure. You know, the first one was nothing special. I was posted up in a stand overlooking an alfalfa field on a well-used trail that I had already watched these deer all summer, and I knew where they were coming and going from. Wind finally was right. I had to have the wind conditions perfect. Sat up in there, first sit in that stand, and saw quite a few does and some small bucks, and right that last half hour, the magic time of day, had a couple does come by, had a little buck nosing them and actually pushing a little 7-point. I got a really good look at them. And they kind of disappeared, and I thought, that's it for the evening. Wasn't much time left, another 20 minutes probably. Caught some movement, and here he came. And I knew this buck, and as soon as I saw him, I knew he was a shooter. Put my release on, and it was like I scripted it out, and he followed it. Walked right by. I had about at the max 20-yard shot. Broadside, and he ran out into the field and tipped over. Didn't even have to track him. So classic hunt. Second one was way different. It was again, November was on. Bucks were chasing. The rut was, signs of it were really coming on strong. Again, posted up in a completely different setup, an area that I had a mock scrape that had went from a small man-made scrape to the size of a kitchen table over about a 10-day period. And wind was good there, posted up, saw several deer early on, and about a half hour before dark, I had some does come scampering through, and there were three of them, all adult does at that, which was odd. And right behind, seconds behind, I hear a roar almost, brr, brr, as his buck's coming. Couldn't see him yet, but immediately grabbed my bow, put my release on, because I just knew. And out he came. He came in like a bull charging and scattered him and chased him around for a second. No shot. Did a circle, came right back, and the does were out of sight now. And he just stopped about 20 yards from my scrape. And I shot him, and he went maybe 40 yards. And a beautiful 3.5-year-old Michigan buck, and I just really pleased. Good nice. Way to tag out on.
I mean, it sounds, the scenarios were different, and what a great way to finish out your bow season with a couple of days left. But then like you said, it's like the letdown. It's like turkey hunting in the spring, 5 minutes into season, they get your bird. That's it.
Yeah, yeah. No, you're exactly right. And as I mentioned before we were on the air, it was kind of bittersweet. You hunt so hard, and you finally accomplish that goal, and it's not like every year I kill two bucks. I'm usually pretty picky on the second one, if I even shoot a second one. And this was a great deer to fill out on, but now I'm done. I've got a trip coming up to North Dakota here in a week, but I'm sitting on my hands, and some of these beautiful mornings, I'm like, oh, I would love to be out there, So it is. It's a double-edged sword when you tag out, because I relish every single day I can be out there.
Tom Nelson, host of the American Archer, joining us here on Wild Michigan, wrapping up his 2021 bow season, but you still have a couple days left in yours. Actually, what is it? The 15th is on a Monday this year, which is, again, we're going to go back to that. Well, why can't the opening day be on the weekend? Okay, listen, people, because it's been on the 15th forever. We're in Michigan. We don't like change. So let's not get crazy. Try to change the opening day of firearm deer season in Michigan to like the second weekend or whatever. But we're going to talk more with Tom Nelson here coming up in a couple of minutes. We are being brought to you by Not Just Guns, Cedar Street at 127 in Mason. They've got their new Great Lakes Training Academy going on with lots of different types of training for CPL classes, for home defense, all that stuff. Check them out online, notjustguns.com. I'm Duran Martinez. More coming your way right here on Wild Michigan on the Michigan Talk Network.
You can join us on Facebook or listen to podcasts, all from our website at wildmichiganradio.com. Now, back to Duran Martinez and Wild Michigan.
Cross the line at an hour too tight. Interstate 94 more miles through the Great Lakes State. Turn it up so the bus ain't late. Another night in Michigan.
Welcome back to Wild Michigan. I'm Duran Martinez. We're being brought to you by our friends at Conquest Scents in Davison, Michigan. Those guys have been busy, busy, busy. They are the makers of Evercalm, also VS1 and Scentfire. Man, that some of the stuff that they put out is absolutely fantastic. I know I've been using it for gosh, as long as we've been doing this show, which is 15 years. And we're going to talk to the dear Professor Doug Roberts here in a little bit as we get to the end of the 2021 bow season and right into the what is sacred for a lot of people, the firearm deer season here in Michigan. But Tom Nelson is our guest right now. Tom, it looks like to close out the first half of November, we've got some really good, crisp temperatures coming up for those early morning and the shorter days. Now, deer don't know it's shorter days. We do. So, you know, I mean, watching that clock is going to be a lot different than it was like last week.
Exactly. Yeah. Because it's more of like crunch time now. You know, it seems like the afternoon hunts are shorter, you know, with the shorter days and stuff. So, boy, you really, really, really have to take advantage of every moment you can spend out there right now, because every hour is prime time right now with the bucks in this seeking phase, looking for does and such. And you hear the stories, this guy shot his buck at noon or 1 o'clock, or you wonder, should you sit all day? And if there's ever a time of the year that as a hunter you should be out there every daylight hour that you can, this would be it. This would be the time. And as a bow hunter, and with gun season around the corner, get out there. I mean, and sit as long as you can. If you can make an all-day sit, do it, because those bucks aren't laying down and sleeping. They're moving. And I've this week here, Duran, I've seen twice this week, I've seen bucks in the middle of the day cruising, walking across wide open pick bean fields and stuff, you know, just on the move, looking for does.
Tom Nelson, our guest here, host of the American Archer on the Outdoor Channel. Tom, that's exactly it, because it was a year ago this week that here I am, I'm on my tractor, got the leaf vacuum going, and the biggest buck I've ever seen in my area literally ran right past me. I mean, it was every bit of 4.5 years old, every bit of 10 points plus, 20-some inches on the inside and huge tines. I mean, I actually showed the picture to Doug Roberts, and when that guy says, that's a big buck, that's a big buck.
Yeah, yeah, Doug knows big bucks, that's for doggone sure. But yeah, they are. This is the time when they are. They're moving all the time. I mean, you think about it. They have such a narrow window of opportunity to breed that when it rolls around, they're out there. They're on their feet. And that's why these bucks are so susceptible to being shot. They're way away from home. They may have wandered completely out of their home territory. If they try to get back to the bedding area, you know, it's, oh my gosh, it's way after daylight and they're hurrying to get back. But it's already 10 o'clock in the morning. I mean, or they're locked up with a doe and traveling with her. Lots of factors come into play right now that enable hunters to hunt all day. So if you can do it, especially if you're limited for time, if you're working during the week and with the time change now, you can't get out after work to make those evening hunts. Boy, Saturday and Sunday, if you can get out there in the morning, take your lunch packet and try to make an all-day hunt of it.
You know, you really brought an interesting point about that midday hunt, about how successful you can be during that time, because I've seen, you know, we were out goose hunting one time during a firearm deer season. We're packing up because, you know what, we had our limit. It's probably about 1 o'clock in the afternoon, or maybe about 12:30, 1 o'clock, and these guys had left the woods. And we all just kind of chuckled as we're picking up the decoys. It's like, watch what happens next. These guys had no sooner gotten their truck and drove off, and this monster buck came running right from where they were at, right past everything. And we're just like, yep, every time.
Yeah. And this, you know, and that's so true. And if you've got, I always tell hunters, you know, this time of year, you want to hunt the does. If you've got a spot where, you know, as I saw with does in the early season, not hardly any bucks, those are the places you want to be now. A little thicker cover where those bucks are going to be seeking during the middle of the day and feel comfortable, and where there's a lot of does. I mean, just park yourself as close as you can to areas like that and just try, like I said, try to gut it out for an all-day hunt.
Now, let's talk about scents, and I know we're going to talk with Doug about this, since he is the developer of those great scents. Evercalm, always handy to have as a cover scent, you know, a little bit on your boots, and around the area where you're at, because that has that bedding materials mixed into the wax stick scent. But, you know, using your estrus scents, your VS1, and yeah, others, that is such a critical, you know, knowing the right time. And it seems we are just now getting to that point.
Yeah, you know, I've been using it for a little bit now, the VS1. But you can start, you know, I always say that week before Halloween, utilizing it. But this is when you want to, you know, take everything that's in your archery arsenal and utilize it. And we all know about whitetails, olfactory glands, how acute their sense of smell is, and how they'll pick up on and such. So, you know, this is, like you said, when you want to start putting some on your boots, leaving those scent trails in and out of where you're hunting, making mock scrapes, sitting, you know, tending those scrapes with the VS1, and that keeps bucks hanging around and active in your area. But if there's ever time they're going to come and pay attention to that scent and come in and offer you a shot, now is the time. So, like a lot of other things, now is the time to be using scents.
Now, Tom, with that scent in a stick, what are some of the best ways to do it? I mean, you don't want to, like, put it above your head or anything.
Well, yeah, you know, one, you want to position that scent and stuff where you want to make, you know, get a shot. So, you know, if you want a 20 yards out in front or stop a deer in this little opening, that's where you want to put it. And one thing I really want to talk about real quick is using, like, the stink stick, which is a container where you can take the scent back with you. You can open it up and hang it from a tree and such, because you don't want to leave that scent behind when you're climbing down or getting out of your stand and having deer checking it or coming into it when you're not hunting. So I'm more apt to use something like that with the scent than just taking and rubbing some on a tree limb or on a rock and such.
Right.
You can hang it up. It's got vents. That stink stick that Conquest makes is a really handy little tool for taking your scent in and out and stopping deer at where you want to get that shot.
And the good thing is, too, when you seal that thing back up, it's not stinking in your pocket.
You know, no, I mean? And you know, it's funny you should say, because that's so true. You can just seal that, throw it in your camo jacket, and you don't have to worry about, you know, smelling like it, because I don't like to hang the scent or put scent around where I'm, you know, it next to me in the tree stand or in the blind. I'll put it downwind, because I want to attract them to that spot, and I want them to smell that before they smell me and such. So just use a little common sense. If you're on a runway that you want the deer to stop in this opening to get a clear shot, great spot to put that sort of stuff.
All right, Tom Nelson, host of the American Archer. Congratulations on your tagging out this year, brother. That is awesome. And we appreciate the last-minute tips for the remainder of what is left in the bow season for 2021.
Well, I've still got North Dakota, two trips to Texas, and Mississippi coming up.
So all right, man.
Still got some bow hunting to do.
Well, we'll look forward to pictures and share those with our friends here on our Facebook page and Instagram. And make sure you check out Tom Nelson, the American Archer, on Facebook as well. Tom, take care and have some safe travels, brother.
Thanks, Duran.
Absolutely. More Wild Michigan coming up next.
Hi, this is Cuz Strickland with Mossy Oak, and you're listening to Wild Michigan with Duran Martinez.
It sits above the mantle on a couple rusty nails, and it's worth a bunch of money, but it damn sure ain't for sale. The good Lord only knows all the stories it can tell. Granddaddy's gone.
Welcome back to Wild Michigan. I'm Duran Martinez. So happy to have you here. And thanks to Tom Nelson, the American Archer, for joining us in the first part of this hour. More coming your way than a whole nother hour to follow this as well. And thanks to each and every one of you for joining us. Thanks to everybody that goes out and visits Not Just Guns or picks up the Conquest scents that you find on the shelves of your retailers all over the world or the country and online. at conquestscents.com. And the dear professor himself is making an appearance on the show as we are getting ready for Firearm Deer Season 2021. Doug, this is, you're our guy, man, our behavioral scientist for all things whitetail.
Well, that's something to live up to.
You know what? I don't think I've ever used that term before, and I'm kind of liking it.
Well, I haven't heard that one either. So,
but I mean, it's kind of true. You live with whitetail. You watch, trophy beautiful whitetail, and you are around them. You see their habits day in and day out, and this is crazy time for them. This is where they don't understand what the heck's going on. They're like teenagers running around.
They are, you know, and it's interesting. It's been a wonderful year, but we've had really warm temperatures, so things have been a little slower. Everyone's like, man, everything's nocturnal. Well, of course, it's the coolest time of the day, so that's when they're going to move the most. But cold weather's coming in. Antlers have been great. We've been seeing the bucks that have been getting shot are good bucks. But now all of a sudden this cold weather, it's snapped. And I will say this is, you know, last couple of years we've talked about how the rut has kind of moved. It slid almost like 2.5 weeks later than normal. This year it's back on course of what it used to be, the first part of November. It's been game on. And so kind of interesting to see how nature has kind of slid back into alignment with itself.
Yeah, it's because, you know, it's funny. I'm glad you brought that up because I remember talking about why are things so slow? What's been going on? But now here we are. We're getting back into a what we would consider normal for deer activity. They don't know. It's our normal.
Well, we say they have us patterned. We don't have them.
Right.
And it is. They have this perfect pattern that fits nature, the way God created things. And so they adapt to that, and they can, for some, I don't know how they do it. They can tell what's coming ahead of time. And so we adapt to that, but, seems like everything's back on what we call the old schedule, as far as the pre-rut, the rut. We just artificially inseminated a bunch of does, Sunday. And it's kind of comical because all the young bucks around the farm, they're all running circles. And it's 24/7. The big guys are starting to move up. Now, again, remember, right now, this week, I'm talking with a number of people, not that we're not getting some nice bucks, but a lot of people are saying, I'm not seeing anything all of a sudden. Well, they're in lockdown. They're with does. They're breeding them. And so they've gone and they've hid to have their privacy. So the timing of opening gun season next week might be right dead on to start seeing all these guys again. So kind of excited about it.
I'm looking forward. Actually, I am too. I'm looking forward to seeing the results of what this year brings, as we do each and every year. But it's been good from what I've seen already from friends that have been out bow hunting. There've been some nice bucks turned in that I've seen, and you know, when you start moving everything around, a lot of scents start coming into the woods, coming in for firearm deer season. There's going to be a lot of things kicked out of their regular hiding spots, and I can't wait to see what happens.
Well, I think starting tomorrow, you know, there's going to be a lot of guys that are going to, everyone's going to go up for the weekend, the bow hunt, and then, of course, opener being on Monday, they'll probably hang tight for that 1 or 2 days. So I think starting tomorrow, if you're in the woods, the activity of people going in getting set up will start to stir the deer herd up. So there's a good chance you're going to see a lot of activity, a lot of good stuff. And then, of course, we got potential for snow coming in on the weekend, too, which when you get enough of that first snowfall, those deer love to go out and play in it. So you see a lot of activity at that time as well. So kind of excited. Everything's kind of falling into place. Let's just hope it continues to do that.
Doug Roberts is with Conquest Scents. He has been with this show since we started 15 years ago, and I'm very happy to have you here, Doug. I want to talk a little bit about midday activity, kind of pick up where Tom and I left off. This is the time a lot of people, well, it's like, you know, 10 o'clock. I'm going to go inside and warm up a little bit, or just grab a sandwich or something, you know. And but there's like this 10 to 3 window that I think is so overlooked a lot of times.
Oh, totally overlooked, and it's because of tradition.
Right.
Most have a hunters. Well, and most hunters love to eat. Let's face it. So mm-hmm. lunch, we're not going to miss. You know, we're just not going to miss lunch. So you got a couple things happening. One, from the hunter standpoint, is you have everyone moving in and out of the woods. So that definitely moves deer around that have bedded down and we're going to rest for the morning. But you've also got all of the bucks that they normally will check their scrapes or their territories 3 or 4 times within a 24-hour period. Well, one of those times happened to fall in that 10 to 3 category. So it's just right at daybreak, then just before noon or right after noon, then you've got in the evening, then you got one in the middle of the night. And so I think hunters do miss that one key critical time when it's completely light out. Most hunters aren't in the woods, and those bucks are still on the move checking their territories and their scrapes for the next doe that comes into heat. So that's where that critical period comes in. If you can stay out there, I think a lot of people would be pretty successful.
Would you even say it's safe to say maybe not go out till later in the morning?
No, I wouldn't do that, because that break of dawn mm-hmm. and that coolness, that's usually the coldest time of the day, has deer up and being active, and they want to get that food source to where they can go lay down as the sun comes up, kind of get out of that cold weather, chew a cud, kind of settle their system, and go and take a break. So that first daylight break is awesome. But give them 3 hours, and they're going to, 3-4 hours, they're going to be back up on their feet for a little bit. That's normally when people start to leave the woods. That's really when you kind of want to watch that next cycle. So
it's just kind of funny when we talk about habit on this show a lot, and how Michigan is one of those places that change is just not good, man. No bueno in Michigan to change things up, you know. It's like, and it's funny because it's just how we are, and I don't know if it's a Midwestern thing, or you know, or because so many of us have worked at GM and Ford for so long that the repetition just gets into our system. I don't know what it is, but it's just the difference is bad.
I think it's a combination of all of that. I think, you know, working on factory lines, as a lot of people do, they do get into the habit of repetition. But what used to work years ago when I was 14, 15, 16 years old hunting with my dad, you know, just starting, man, I was successful. Mm-hmm. Man, I was shooting a buck every year or 2 bucks every year. Well, it's hard to change those patterns if it's been successful. But the problem is over time, the environments change and the seasons and, you know, you call it climate change, whatever you want to call it. There is changes in it. There is changes within the genetic structure and the habits of the deer herd itself. And so you do have to adapt to those changes as well. And if you don't, then you start to miss some great opportunities. So change is hard, because tradition is what pulls out our heartstrings.
All right.
We want to keep those traditions alive, and heartstrings are strong. Doesn't always mean success on the other end.
Doug Roberts, our guest here on Wild Michigan on the Michigan Talk Network.
You can send your suggestions, comments, or questions to us here via email at outdoormailbag@gmail.com. Now, back to Wild Michigan.
Turn the quiet up, turn the noise down. Let this old world just spin around.
Welcome back to Wild Michigan. I'm Duran Martinez, your host. The past 15 years here on the Michigan Talk Network. Very happy to have you here. We are on the precipice of the 2021 firearm deer season here in Michigan. Couple days of bow season left. November 15th, the holy day, as I hold my hand in the air, for firearm deer hunters here in Michigan. And, of course, remember, no baiting. Okay, no, no yellow acorns, no carrots, no sugar beets that just happen to fall off the truck right next to your deer stand. I'm not judging. I'm just telling you what the DNR says. But that said, we want to have a safe and happy hunt. Know your target. Respect landowners if you're on private property. And by all means, man, leave it better than you found it. It's just a great way to keep our good name going in the state of Michigan as hunters and people that love the sport so much. Doug Roberts, the deer professor, joins us. Conquest Sense is his business, along with the wonderful white-tailed deer that he raises, and just some beautiful typicals over there. Doug, I want to talk a little bit about scent, because, you know, and I want to go back to that thing about tradition too. There are guys that have been using the same scent over and over and over again, and, you know, and it works for them. That's great. But I want to talk about some of the, you know, if you're using a natural estrus scent, and you know, of course, you're looking for that ATA approved sticker on there, which is a long story in itself, but I don't want to deviate. When they're bottling, or when you're producing the estrus scent yourself, how big are the variations in that, or is it something that is just genetically the same? You know what I'm saying? It's kind of a tough question to ask, but maybe you understand where I'm going.
I think the question you're asking, and correct me if I'm wrong, but are the smells, estrus smells of deer in the north, the same as estrus smells in the south or out west or whatever?
Yeah, is it going to be something that triggers their nose, or is there more to it than that?
No, Duran, it's mammals that come into heat or cycle into heat. All mammals throw off basically the same type of estrus pheromone scent. And the reason, I'll give you an example, is when women, like when my daughter was younger, I had to be very careful of having her around the buck pens at this time of the year if it was her time of the month, because she had that smell that the bucks were attracted to, and some of them would get very aggressive. Most of them would still have a great enough fear, but not all of them did. And that's what kind of taught me of, like, my goodness, a real pure estrus whitetail scent is very effective no matter where you use it. The key is, how fresh is it?
Mm-hmm.
The fresher it is, the better it is. And if it has any ammonia smell, that means it's been breaking down and rotting or spoiling. A good estrus scent should not have any or very little ammonia smell. Ammonia is the worst thing. That's the first thing it tells you, that scent's bad. And so hunters have to understand and learn. And that's what's been different, is our scent industry for years have trained hunters to think that ammonia-smelled urine is okay. Young bucks, fawns, immature animals are attracted just because they're curious for the most part.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're going after the big dominant bucks, they know the difference. And that's where you're going to see the big difference in what you would have as pure, real, good estrus scent and not.
Yeah, and that makes a lot of sense, because, you know, I mean, we don't know. We honestly, there's no way, unless they're dating when things are bottled, to know. And what is the shelf life for something like that before it starts to break down? And, you know, I mean, and some are refrigerated. Does that have an effect?
Well, here's the truth on estrus scents, because estrus scents are completely different than any other scent. Like, our Evercomb is just deer smells, bedding smells collected. There's nothing special. It's just deer, which is great most of the season. In fact, it's all season. Our VS1 is collected at the peak time of the estrus, when that doe is in heat. the top 2 hours basically is what we look at. So if we collect that urine, vaginal secretions, put them together and put them in the refrigerator and chill them down, slow the spoiling process down, it'll last 4 to 5 months.
Wow.
It'll be no good. So one season, that's putting no preservative in it. That is just the pure thing that we collect from the deer, put it in a bottle, put it in. If we take the top off and we allow air to get to it, it will last at in a refrigerator maybe 2 weeks because the bacteria and the stuff in the air rots it much faster. It gets in and it destroys the estrus pheromones. Now let's talk about freezing an estrus scent. You can freeze an estrus urine in a scent one time. It's like blowing up a balloon to its maximum, letting it out, and then you blow it up. You can blow it past it, but it pops the balloon. It's the same with that estrus pheromone cell in the urine. It expands and freezes. When you thaw it out, it still works. When you go to refreeze, it shatters the cell, and you have no smell at all. And so estrus scents are very unique in themselves. They're very special. But that's why they work so well when they are fresh, they are pure, when they're put out. And right now is the best time to do it.
Doug Roberts, our guest here. I'm Duran Martinez on Wild Michigan. You know, Doug, I don't think we may have asked that question before, but the answer, I mean, it's a very simple, concise answer as to why last year's lure probably isn't going to work so well. You know what I mean? So it's just one of those things that I guess some people don't think about.
Well, and they don't. Now, understand, like with ours, and again, we found some things out by mistake. Actually, our whole company was made on mistakes or just things we ran into and thought, wow. We're talking about liquid form.
Right. Right.
If you put it into the wax formula, the wax becomes a natural holder that has no smell. It doesn't allow air to get to the urine, so it holds it in a neutral state without it being frozen or refrigerated. And if you put it in the sealed bag, it just sits dormant until the following year. So in our wax formula, it can last more than one season, and that's why our wax formula has become so popular.
Mm-hmm.
Because you get 100% use out of all of the scent that you use, so you get your money's worth. So that's the difference with the wax formula, and it was, we just kind of came across it by a fluke. So
well, it seems to work for me. Right.
Yeah, I mean, we just, Karen and I, it's just God's blessing.
In the words of Bob Ross, happy accidents.
Exactly. That's exactly, you know, Evercom was found by one of our workers by mistake. VS1, I figured that out by mistake, just artificially breeding deer. The wax was because Karen lit a candle on her back deck and it started raining and had all these wax beads. And I was like, oh my goodness. You know, so it just, people think I'm the smartest person. No, I'm not. I see something and go, wow, that's interesting. How's that work?
Well, you know, and that's the beauty of having you here, because every response you've ever given me has led to another question. You know what I mean? And we don't get those opportunities in forums or, you know, on when you do shows and things like that. I mean, it's just a blessing to us to have access to you the way we do, and we appreciate it, and like in the biggest way, man.
Duran, you're a wonderful friend. The show is amazing. So easy to talk to. But whatever the deer teach me on a daily basis, a yearly basis, I'm more than happy to share. And it's so much fun just to keep learning from such a wonderful species of animal that we get to spend our lives with.
Absolutely. But Doug, thank you so much. ConquestSense.com. Find them. There's a link on our website. And we appreciate you, Doug, and best to Karen as well. More coming your way
Same.
On the Michigan Talk Network.